You plan creation with me in mind. You formed my heart. You saw my face. I was made in your image. I am no mistake. You chose my family, the place of my birth. You knew all about me. You thought I had worth. I was called out to serve you, do your kingdom work. And all of my days are written down in your book.
I'm running the race down to the last minute. Mercy and grace are keeping me in it. There's a fire in my soul. I'm fully committed. I'm running the race and I'm gonna fit in.
Well, I've fallen down in this race of life, but you came to my rescue time after time. You told me you loved me. You weren't counting my sins. In you I found courage to rise up again.
I know you are for me. You want me to win. I'll never give up until I reach the end. Oh, out there before me, I see the prize. Jesus is standing at the finish line.
I'm running the race down to the last minute. Mercy and grace are keeping me in it. There's a fire in my soul. I'm fully committed. I'm running the race and I'm gonna finish. I'm running the race down to the last minute. Mercy and grace are keeping me.
Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Does everybody have their brick? All right, please don't throw them too hard, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you, though, while we sing, when you stand to sing, can you please hold your bricks in your hands? As we go to meet and greet, can you please meet and greet with your bricks in your hands, okay? So we don't want to get the chairs all dirty, so please hang on to your bricks. All right, it's important that we hang on to them so we really understand our bricks this morning. Well, it's great that you're here. You started the new year right. You're in the house of God, right? What a great way to start the new year. No better way. So we have several announcements that I want to go through. So if you'll take your bulletin. First of all, we have two Sunday school classes, and they're both starting new material. And so with the start of a new year, if you haven't been in Sunday school, we want to get you into a Sunday school class and you can experience the joy of being with a group of people that's a little bit smaller group where you can study the Bible but also get to know some people. So, first of all, Scott Cross and his class, they meet right across from the nursery. They're going through the book of Jeremiah, and Scott just started this morning with some intro stuff, and Scott would love to see you join his class. And so if you'd like to join that class going through the book of Jeremiah. And then Tom Layton is going through a biblical portrait of marriage. And so it's not just for those with children. It's anybody that's married that would like to go to that class. And that class meets, it's in the classroom right across from the library. So if you'd like to go to either one of those Sunday school classes, they're both starting up with new material. So we'd like to encourage you to be part of our Sunday school program. On January 5th, 6th, and then on the 7th, if needed, We are buffing out our gym floor and getting it all sparkly clean and waxed and ready to go for the upcoming year. If you have some time on either the 5th or 6th or 7th, and you would like to volunteer to help, we could sure use that help. There's a sign-up sheet that should still be at the Welcome Center, so you can sign up there if you are planning on helping with that. Yeah, on January 8th, which is next Sunday, we will be taking down all the Christmas decorations. And so if you could stay after, if we have several people do it, it'll go really quick. And if you adopted a tree this year, then if you could just take down the tree that you adopted, that will help tremendously as well. And on February 1st, we have new access codes for the alarm. So if you have a key and you've used the old access code, just know on February 1st, that access code will no longer work. We are going to individualize access codes so we know who's coming in and out and when and who's not locking up and all of that. So make sure if you're going to come into the church, the old access code on February 1st will not work and the police will be called. So make sure that you see, you can see Cheryl in the office or Lynn in the office and they'll help you with the access codes. We got some great things that are starting up with this new year. A week from tomorrow, Upward Basketball starts practices, and be in prayer for that. If you would like to share your testimony at halftime of an Upward game, and you only get 5 minutes, so don't think that we're putting you on the spot for a long time. But if you could come in and share a quick testimony, either your salvation or something that God has done in your life, for every game, we have about at least 20 kids there with all of their families. So if you got to imagine there'll be between 80 and 100 people in the gym for you to share your testimony with for 8 hours every Saturday, okay? And so there's an opportunity for you. If you go, well, I'd like to share my testimony with somebody, but I've always been nervous, great opportunity to try it, okay? So if you'd like to do that, see Pete Pollard, and Pete will get you connected with that. All right. And there's one thing in the bulletin under tithes and offerings for last Sunday. It was actually 20,626, not 12. All right. There was somehow that got messed up. So 20 is better than 12, right? Unless you're trying to lose weight. So, all right. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that as we meet here on this new year, that you are a great, great God. Nothing has ever caught you by surprise. Nothing has overtaken you. Nothing has overcome you. You are God alone. And on this new year, you look to each one of us and you say, I love you. And you tell each one of us that you want us to live our lives for you. So I pray that in this 2017 year, we will just live it. That we will live the faith that you give to us, that we will live with love that you give to us. And as we look at your word this morning, Lord, that we will lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus, for being the author, for being the finisher of our faith. And let it be joy this morning, Lord, in our hearts, as it was in yours, to lay down ourselves for each other, to run the race that you've set before us. And so, God, as we spend this time here together, may you be glorified in many wonderful ways. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Hey, Thad, are we eating before we take down? And I can't play my flute with a brick in my hand, so there.
Oh, so you have to leave your... He can't play the drum with a brick.
You can put it down.
I didn't ever see it. challenge at first, right?
If we could have the ushers come forward for the offering, if our ushers could come forward.
What?
Okay.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. You are the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And we just thank you for that. But we also thank you that you are the Lamb of God who came and died for us because of our sin. As we take up this offering this morning, we just ask that you bless the giver and bless the gift. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Remain seated as we sing Days of Elijah. Righteousness being restored. These are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields all are white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, trumpets call. Chapter 40, verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. God, completely to shall walk upon salvation. Your Spirit alive in me, this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you? So what could I say? And what could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who.
Now, kids, I hope all the kids have a brick, all right? Did all the kids get a brick? I hope you have one, because you're staying in the service this morning with your brick, because you need to take care of your bricks too, okay? So all the kids, you're going to stay in here, and let's take our Bibles and let's turn together. We have a couple different passages that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I heard a man say, "This New Year's, I resolve to be less awesome, since that is really the only thing I do in excess." A woman was heard saying, praying, "Dear God, my prayer for 2017 is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix it up like last year. I have only one resolution this year, to rediscover the difference between wants and needs. May I have all I need and want all I have." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, and before we go there, this year our theme for 2017, last year 2016 was thrive. And you know, the scripture said, "I have learned therefore in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I have learned in all things, both to abound," which is to thrive, "and to suffer loss." And you know, we've had a 2016 where there was opportunities to thrive, to abound. There were opportunities where things went our way. The ball seemed to drop just right. And then there were times where in 2016 it didn't go right. But yet, we were encouraged in all things to thrive. This year, Our theme is just live it. Just live it. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, this is our theme verse. I tried to choose a shorter one this year so that I could memorize it better, okay? So my goal for everybody here, it's a short verse. I hope that you can memorize this verse, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Nice and short, right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're going to spend this year looking at all the different ways that we can have the mind of Christ. And as we learn more and more how to have the mind of Christ, we're going to see that God develops within us an awesome life. And what does he expect us to do? Just live it. Just live it. So, let's read verse 6 in Philippians 2. Who, being in the form of God, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ in us. Well, Christ was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We just finished a week ago celebrating Christmas, and that was the expression of the humility of Jesus, that he could take on flesh. See, here's what Jesus did. Understand this about Jesus. Jesus, as God in heaven, had no bricks. You know that? He had no weight. He was above all. But you know when Jesus did? Jesus said, I'm going to take on earthly form. I'm going to submit myself. I'm going to humble myself and become obedient to death. See, what our God did for us in becoming flesh is he took the weight of the world. And he said, I will carry the weight of the world for anybody who will believe. Anyone who will call Jesus Lord, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does it mean to call Jesus Lord? It means that you give up your rights to yourself and you sign them over to him. You say, I am done pleasing me, Lord Jesus. I want to live for you. And Jesus came to give every single one of us that opportunity. He took the weight of the world. He took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our pain, and he took it on himself, and he became obedient to death. He died, and when he died, what he did is he took all of those things, all of those weights of the world, and he broke them. And now he says, I will give you victory. I will make you victorious in your life if you just trust in me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, and while you're turning there, when Jesus came to the earth in John 1:11, in John 1, John verses 1 through about verse 20, it's kind of the Christmas story according to John. It's a little bit different because it deals with the character qualities of Jesus, not just the person of Jesus. But in John 1:11, it says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to carry the weight of the world. He came to take every burden and to take it for us so that we don't have to. And he came to do that, but what did his own do? They didn't receive him. In Luke 4, it goes through it. Luke 4 starts with Jesus being tempted by the devil. 40 days, he didn't eat anything. And he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And yet, when Jesus was tempted, he did not sin. In fact, he rebuked the devil, and he was able to drive the devil away through the word of God. So then he gets done with being tempted, and he goes into his home city of Nazareth. See, usually when we think about going home, I know maybe for some of you it's not this way, but when I think of going home, I think of deep breath, the hardships kind of fade away. When I go home, I go to sanctuary. If you go home and you go home to turmoil, God's plan for you in 2017 is for you to learn how to go home to a sanctuary. Create a sanctuary. Jesus went home. He went into the synagogue that he grew up in. And they hand him the book of Isaiah. And he begins to read the book of Isaiah. And he reads about how that the Messiah was going to come. And the specific things about the Messiah that he read was that that there was a promise that was made. And when he gets done reading about the Messiah, he sits down and he hands the scroll to the minister of the synagogue. And all eyes are on him. Everybody's looking at Jesus. And some people are like, what is he talking about? And Jesus says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He was the promised Messiah. Now, just think about this for a second. He grew up in Nazareth. He never once sinned. He never did any wrong. He left a perfect example. And some of the people in the synagogue, they looked at him and they said, you're Joseph's son. What do you mean? So then Jesus shares a couple stories with them. He says, well, let me tell you two stories from the Old Testament. First story, when Israel was in 3 years and 6 months of famine, which means it hadn't rained, and there was nothing growing in the ground. There was no food for anybody, and widows were starving and dying. God sent Elijah, his prophet, to a widow, and only one widow. And she wasn't even an Israelite. She lived in another town, in Sidon. And God took care of that one widow. And all the people are sitting there, and they're getting uncomfortable, and they're like, you mean that God takes care of the Gentiles? And Jesus says, I got another story for you. Elisha, the next great prophet. In Israel, there were many, many lepers. This disease that ate the skin away, that literally would cause your membrane to fall off of your body. And with all these lepers, Elisha only helped one. And he was the captain of the Syrian army, the enemy of Israel. You know, all the people are like, you mean God loves other people more than us? And Jesus says, no, I came to be the Messiah. And they took Jesus and they were about ready to, they took him out of the synagogue, ran him to a cliff. And I've been to the cliff that they took him to. It's probably about a 150-foot drop off the side of that cliff, straight down rock. And they took him there in the city of Nazareth, right to that cliff, and they were ready to throw him off and kill him. And somehow, miraculously, Jesus just, whoop, passed right through them. Somehow, you know how he did it? Because he is God. They could not kill him before he was ready to give his life. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. He came to bear the weight of the world, and the people in the town where he grew up, they didn't want anything to do with him. So how do we take on this mind of Christ? If Jesus was willing to come and be rejected by his own people, how do we come to Christ? Hebrews 12 gives us a really good look at this. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. I've only ran track one time. Track was not my cup of tea, all right? And I ran one race. It was the 440, okay? 440 meters around the track. That's one lap. and that's all I could do. I was not a distance person at all. And you know what? When I was training to run that race, I never once grabbed a brick and said, all right, I want to run with my brick. I did wear ankle weights every once in a while. So when I took the ankle weights off, I'd be faster and feel lighter. But I didn't want to carry around a brick. And when I, especially when I was in the race, when I was standing at the start line and they shot off the gun, I did not want to be holding any kind of weight because I wanted to run free. And I remember they shot that gun and I took off and I jumped right to the front of the pack. And I got about halfway around the track and I started to breathe heavy. And the guy right behind me, he kept kicking my heels. And then he ran up alongside of me. And I was getting tired, so I tried to grab on and catch a ride. And that didn't work very well because the two of us, we fell. And everybody fell over us. So it became a race who could get up first. And he had all this tangled of bodies, probably 12 of us, laying on top of each other and kicking and fighting to get up. I came in second to last in that race. Last time I ran a race like that. But you know what? When you run a race, we don't want to carry around weights. But here's what our Lord does for us. He says, I don't want you to carry around weights in your life. Lay aside the weights and the sin that holds you back or weigh you down. And look to Jesus because he is the author and finisher of our faith. You know what? When I run a race, I'm looking to the finish line, okay? I ran a 5K with my daughter, all right, Kayla. And the day before the 5K, I had a softball game, and I pulled my hamstring terribly, all right? It was black and blue. It was awful. And she's like, Dad, I don't want to run it by myself. So I ran the 5K with her. The only thing I could think about was finish line, finish line, finish line. And when we ran through the town, and I saw the because we ran all around. It was in Lawton, actually. We ran around Lawton, and we were going back into the high school track. When we got to the high school track, I'll be like, yes, I could see the finish line, and I ran for that finish line. And my daughter beat me, but I still ran for that finish line. And you see, in life, we have a finish line. We don't know when we're going to cross that finish line, but we have something to look forward to, and that is Jesus. And here's what Jesus does. He's the author of our race. So here's what Jesus does. He says, there's a course. Run my course. Now, if I don't have my weights with me, I'm gonna run that course pretty well. But I'm carrying around my weights and my sins. I'm going to struggle getting around that course. Because Jesus authors my race. But he's not just the one that authors my race. He's not the one that says, here's where I want you to run. He also says, I am the finish line. He's the finisher. And here's what he does for every single one of us. Okay? When I was running with my daughter, if she got tired, I would encourage her. Come on, keep going. Keep going. When I would get tired, Dad, catch up to me. Catch up to me, is what she would say. And then I'd see her get tired and keep going. Keep going. But we would encourage each other. Here's what Jesus does. He gets right alongside with you. And he says, I am going to help you. And he encourages you. And he says, keep going, keep going. He doesn't make the race easier. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be really nice if he just said, I'm going to make the race easier for you? He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to make the race easier. He says, I'm going to run with you. I authored the race, and now I will run with you. And as he runs with us, he is the finisher of our faith. He gets us to the finish line. But now, how do we run the race? How do we just live it? I think the first thing we have to do is lay aside every weight and every sin that holds us back. What are some of the weights that we have in our lives? How about regrets from loss? There's been a lot of loss this year, hasn't there? When you say, I wish I would have, that's a weight that you carry. Every time that thought runs through your mind, I wish I would have, that's a weight. I can't undo anything I've done in the past. Can't do it. It's impossible. But I can carry that weight with me. And that's what we do, most of us. We carry around these weights. And these weights, they hold us back. They slow us down. They keep us from being effective in the race. And you know what? For some people, they make us want to quit. Well, it's just so hard to run. Well, yeah, when you got the weight, it is hard. On Tuesday night, men, when we play basketball, what if we had to play with a brick in our hand? First of all, we'd all die because we'd end up killing each other with the bricks. But we wouldn't be very effective. Softball team, if we made you go up to bat and you had to carry the brick in your bat, you're not going to be very effective. You see, in life, when we carry these weights of regret, I wish I would have, that weight stays with us. How about this? Promises that have been broken. Has anybody broken a promise they made to you in the last year? Anybody? Don't you hate that? Have you broken a promise you made to somebody else this year? Oh, man. You know what? You hold on to that, and you say, I'm going to run my race hanging on to the broken promises. You're not going to run. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus never breaks a promise. And so when others do break promises to you, look to Jesus. He authors and finishes the race. How about dreams that are left unfulfilled? In 2016, you had your list of resolutions, right? And now you look back at it and you go, what was I thinking? And you say, I wish I would have accomplished more. And you have dreams that you've left unfulfilled. Or maybe you had big dreams earlier in life. And you just feel like, man, I haven't lived up to the potential that I had. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, listen, you carry that weight with you. You can't go back and redo yesterday. But you can keep looking forward and run the race with patience that he's set before us. And look to him. And when we look to him, he will help us to put these bricks down. He'll help us with these weights. What are some of the sins? You know, and it's hard to go through all the sins. In 1 John, it gives us an idea of what sin is composed of. And in 1 John, it tells us there's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And with the lust of the flesh, those are sexual sins. Those are the things that you desire or you chase after that you should not be, that are not in proper context. Marriage is the only context for that. And when you go after the lust of the flesh in any other way, what you're doing is you're putting a weight in your life. It's a weight of sin. There are sins of the eyes, coveting, wanting what somebody else has, envying, hating somebody because they have more than you. Or lusting, wanting so bad, craving, which you don't have. The lust of the eyes. And then there's the pride of life. It's selfish motivation in living where you're not content to live God's way. You've got another way. And you can justify that way in a million different ways. You know what you're doing? You're taking a burden. You're taking a weight of sin. And you're carrying it through your race. And so we're going to go to communion in just a minute. But before we can go to communion, before we start this new year, I'm going to ask you, what is your weight or what is your sin that's weighing you down, that's holding you back? And I'm going to ask you to, I've got some markers on this table, that table. I'm going to ask you to come up, write what it is on your brick. And then don't take your brick back to your chair with you. The only reason you would take your brick back to your chair with you is because you don't want for God to carry your weight for you. Write it down on the brick. And then I'm going to ask you just put it up on the stage. And take a cup. There are two cups stacked. Take both cups and go back to your seat. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot drop the weights of sin. The weight of sin is not something that you can put aside because you are sold unto sin. You are underneath the power of sin. See, a Christian, I'm not. As a Christian, because of Jesus, the weight of sin can be dropped at any time. I don't have to hold on to it. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't do that. The brick is yours to hold on forever. You can't let go of it. And so instead of coming and taking communion, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to encourage you to lay your brick down on the floor where you sit and just call to Jesus and say, Lord God, forgive me for my sin. I believe that you came to bear my weight and my burdens, to take my sin. Please forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and change me. Help me to know the race that I need to run. You know, if you ask God to save you this morning, he will save you. And when he does, you don't ever have to pick up the brick again. And so I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, we're going to have a song that's going to start playing. And when that song starts, you're invited to come up, take and write. It's the weight or the sin. Write it on your brick. Put it down. Take your communion and go back to your chair, and we'll take communion together. And after the song is done playing, the praise team will sing another song. There'll be plenty of time for everybody to come up and do this. But let's lay aside every weight and sin that so easily holds us back, and let us look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the joy that was set before him was, he said, I'm willing to endure the cross, despise the shame, so that every single one of us can join him at sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, I know in my life, I like to win, and I like to win too much. And so, Lord, I am laying down the weight of that to you. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's here, that we will all be able to identify and lay down the weights or the sins that hold us back. And I pray we'll start this new year as we run the race for you. We'll run it burden free. Lord, help us to just live our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This year, I'm not looking back to who I was. Because I'm gonna be someone I've never been. This year, I'm not focused on the cracks in the walls, not keeping track of all the times I fall. This year, starting right. I'm gonna be someone I've never been.
While you're at your seats, if you're going to sing with us as we sing our invitation song, Jesus paid it all. Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Finish up getting the bricks done. It's a pretty cool sound, isn't it? To hear the brick hit the other brick. Now, let's be honest. How many of you, when you got your bricks this morning, you're angry? How many of you were resistant? How many of you said, I do not want a stupid brick? Well, good. Good. But see, here's the problem. We pick up the bricks, don't we? We carry these bricks voluntarily through our life when there is no need to. We don't have to. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. And he doesn't want that. And so to hear this sound, that's an awesome sound. To hear that thing be put down and to know that it's not just me, right? I mean, isn't that encouraging? I mean, if you're the only one with a brick, you'd be like, oh, man. That's rough. We all have bricks. We all have weights. We all have sin that holds us back. But we have an author and a finisher. And so as we go to communion here, here's what Jesus did. He took his body and he let his body be broken for us. When his body was broken, the weight of your sin, it was broken. I thought about having a sledgehammer and busting up a few bricks this morning. That would have been fun, wouldn't it? I was afraid I'd have put a hole in the stage. Maybe next week. But when his body was broken, he broke the power of sin. He broke up the weight that we carry. Jesus, when he was with his disciples the night before he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." You know, when Jesus died, he didn't just die a regular death. He died a bloody death because he had to be a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that he was a sacrifice of blood that washes our sin away. There's not very much more white snow out there on the ground, is there? Our sins, which were scarlet. What's the color of this juice? Scarlet. Our sins, which were scarlet. The blood of Jesus washes us white as snow. Every time you see it, the fresh snow, don't think, oh, I got a plow or I got a shovel. Think, God just sent me a reminder of what happened to my sin. He washed it white as snow. Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do in remembrance of me." Because Jesus paid it all to him we owe, and we should leave this morning in celebration, right? Because of what our Lord has done. Will you stand with me? Praise team, I'm throwing you a curveball. They can handle it. Let's sing, "Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead," and then go to the ending from there, okay?
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Now unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from our iniquity, separated us from our sin, and has promised us eternity and glory. To him be praise and glory both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just live it. Happy New Year.